Romans chapter 8. Actually, we're going to start in Romans 8, but we're going to go back to Romans 1. Be ready to go there, all right? Romans chapter 8, if we'll look in verse 22, Romans chapter 8, verse 22, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, and hope that is seen is not hope.
That's right.
For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for?
Right.
But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did know, from whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?
Amen.
Romans 8, chapter 22, down through verse 31. Before we go any further, I want to back up to Romans chapter 1, and I just want you to look at one verse, because I think oftentimes we get in the Word of God, and we forget who the Bible and who parts of the Bible is written to, all right?
No,
I just want to be honest with you. Everything in the Bible was not written to you.
No, sir.
All right? Everything in the Bible was not written to you, but it was all written for you.
Amen.
All right? Every bit was written for you, and there is benefit in all of it for us, okay? But Romans, the whole book, was written to you, all right? Look at verse 7. Paul here is writing, and he says, to all that be in Rome.
Amen.
Beloved of God, you said, wait a minute, I'm not in Rome.
Amen.
Well, but are you called to be saints?
There you go. Come on.
All of them, all right, beloved of God, called to be saints. Hey, that's you. That's you. Now, we're not waiting, okay? We're not waiting on some convocation
Amen.
To declare you personally to be a saint. God's already called you that, all right?
Amen.
The Word of God calls you that. If you've been born again, then you're a saint.
Amen.
You're a saint. And the book of Romans was written to the church at Rome, people like us, okay? People like us, folks have been born again. So the book of Romans was written to you, all right? I want to be sure you hang on to that fact, because what we're going to say here is just really pertinent to that. The eighth chapter of Romans is filled with some wonderful news, all right?
Yes, sir.
Especially for the child of God.
Yes, sir.
If you're saved, then chapter 8 of Romans has just got good news. Twice in the verses we read, verse 22 and then down in verse 28, we found these two words, we know.
Right.
We know.
Amen.
Boy, I tell you, our faith is a no-so kind of faith.
Yes,
Don't ever forget that, all right? It's not filled with maybe and perhaps and there is a chance. No, it's a no-so faith. It's a positive assurance of what has been guaranteed to us by the finished work of Christ on Calvary. It's guaranteed. Why? Because God finished his work on Calvary. When the Lord Jesus Christ bowed his head and said, it is finished, it was finished. And then he wound it up completely 3 days later. When he rose from the dead, all right? That's the finished work of Christ. And what we have tonight, we can rest assured we have because of what the Lord did for us. And the Bible tells us, and we read here, how the Bible says as believers we're predestinated. For heaven? No. We're predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son. That's what the Bible said here. Wasn't predestinated heaven or predestinated for hell. But predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son. Then we get in verse 30, more wonderful news.
Amen.
Whom he did predestinate, them he also called.
Yes, sir.
And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What a blessing. All of that said to you and I that are believers. And then, after you've said all that, if God be for us, if God be for us, who can be against us? I want to speak to you just tonight, just for a few minutes, on when God is for you. When God is for you. You know, a lot of people live their life and they have some problems and they think, well, even God's against me. Well, he's not. He's not against you. He's not out to get you. Hey, God, especially if you're his child, he's for you. Man, I got two kids. I'm for them. I'm for them. Got four grandkids. I'm for them. I've got a lot host of friends. I'm for them, okay? We got a host of church members. I'm for them. I'm so glad God's for us, aren't you? If that's true, just a few things, all right? Just a few things, if you would look at with me. If God be for us, number one, the world doesn't have to be.
Amen.
The world doesn't have to be. It has been said that the world is no friend of grace.
Amen.
That is true.
Yes,
the world's not a friend of grace. The songwriter said, this world is not my home.
Amen.
I'm just passing through, all right? We're just making a sojourn through here. The world is no friend of grace. As the world gets more and more wicked, then the child of God that tries to live for the Lord and serve him becomes more and more of an outcast. You don't fit in, all right? If you're trying to live for God, you don't fit in, all right? You're just awkward. Well, hey, don't worry about it. It's okay. You know, you don't have to fit in everywhere. If I sit down and think about my life, I can't remember very many times and places where I fit in, where I really fit in. How about you? Now, there was a home down here in Southeast Texas I fit in. It was Grandma and Grandpa Sarver. I fit in there. I always felt welcome. They were always glad to see me, and it wasn't put on, you know. You knew they were glad to see me. Man, it was a blessing. There was an old farmhouse yonder and outside of Idaho, Georgia. Always felt in and fit in there. Home of Grandma and Grandpa Mosley. I fit in there. I fit in. But you know what? Most of the rest of this place in this world, I hadn't fit in. I've been invited to some things, and I'll never forget going to a birthday party, and boy, I felt out of place. Just felt out of place. Stayed long enough to be polite, and as soon as I could, I left. Now, some of the folks there, I loved them, but I didn't feel like I fit in, all right? You ever been in that situation? Well, hey, the world, we're not supposed to fit in the world. And if God be for us, the world doesn't have to be. And I think we need to remember that. It doesn't matter what the world thinks. It doesn't matter what the world says about you. It just doesn't matter. It makes no difference. You say, well, they say, man, us fundamental Baptists say, you people a bunch of crackpots. Go ahead, don't bother me. Don't bother me a bit. Say, well, you're ignorant. I don't care what you say, go ahead. You're a Bible thumper. Go ahead, I'll keep thumping it, okay? None of that bothers me. I don't want them to think you're one of us. I don't fit in with them. I'm not. There's nothing in the world for the child of God but heartache and trouble. I mean, just boil it down to everything. There's a lot of heartache here. There's a lot of trouble in this old world. But this is not our home, okay? This is not our final destination, okay? This isn't it, all right? And God has promised, though, to provide for you. Look at verse 32. Verse 32 there in Romans chapter 8. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Hey, it's okay if the world is not for you. Because God's promise to provide for us. He didn't spare his son. He looked down on this old world of wickedness and sin. He knew what it was going to be like, and he devised a plan. Way back yonder, it was devised. He knew about it. The Bible talks about Jesus Christ, the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. The Lord had a plan before Adam and Eve ever sinned. It was in place, and he worked out his plan, and he sent his son. God himself took upon the form of man. God became man. He dwelt among us. He lived here for 33 and a half years, lived a perfect life so he could become the perfect sacrifice for us. God spared not his own son. Ever think about that? And if he spared not his own son, with him shall he not freely give us all things. He gave us his son, so with that son he said, I'll take care of you. He'll meet your needs. He can supply those needs. You're going to be provided for. Now, wait a minute. I'm not encouraging you to go home and say, man, I'm quitting my job. God's going to take care of me. No. He gave you the ability to work, earn a living. He gave you some sense. He's not telling you God will take care of you. Just sit and relax and soak it up and, you know, expect the world to bring it to you. No, no, no. But he said, I'll provide. I'll meet your need. I'll meet your need. The world doesn't have to be for you when God's for you. The world doesn't have to be. So, hey, when God's for you, the world doesn't have to be. Second thing I want you to see is when God's for you, nothing can separate you from the love of God. Amen. Nothing can do it. Look at verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Listen, the old devil likes to try. The old devil likes to try. He'll come, get on you when things are kind of, you know, you're having a bad day, things aren't going your way. He'll show up, perch on your shoulder, if you will, and begin to whisper in your ear, say, man, it doesn't look too good. I don't think anybody loves you. Matter of fact, I don't even think God does. Hey, if God really loved you, then he would do. Hey, quit listening to the devil, all right? He loves to try and convince people God doesn't love them. But that is, you know what? Do we forget what he is? The Bible said he's a liar. He's a liar. Way back yonder in the Garden of Eden when he spoke to Eve, he lied to her. He lied to her. And he's been lying to men ever since. Lying to us ever since. He still lies to people. And the amazing thing is, when the Bible tells us he's a liar, people still listen to him. Still believe him. I've told you about the girl that was in our Christian school years ago. Man, she had a reputation she never told the truth. And boy, if she did, it was a rare thing. But at least the kids in school had the good sense to quit listening to her and believing her. Hey, why would you believe a liar? The devil comes along and he lies to you. Hey, how could God love somebody like you? How could he love somebody like you? You know, you keep messing up. You just keep messing up. Oftentimes you're found unfaithful. Man, you just can't seem to measure up to the standard he's set. How could he love somebody like you? Same way he loves somebody like me that keeps messing up and it's found unfaithful and just can't seem to measure up. I want to tell you, don't you forget the devil's a liar, all right? The Bible says there in verse 35, shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword. None of those things. None of those things can separate us from the love of Christ. But if you get excited there, you go on down just a little bit further and you read verse 38. For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Boy, isn't that something? I don't know about you, but when you read those words, do you ever get there and he's, now listen, let me go through them again. Death, life, angels, principalities, powers, things present, things to come, height, depth. But then he throws in, nor any other creature. I didn't know principalities or angels or powers or things. I didn't know height and depth were creatures. But it's kind of like I read that verse, and it's sort of like the Lord saying, just in case the old devil thinks he can come up with something new and try to deceive you with it, he throws that in, any other creature. any other creature. What? They cannot separate us, all right, from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What a blessing. What a blessing. Man, we stand assured, if God be for us, nothing can separate you from the love of God. You say, well, preacher, you don't know how I've messed up. Hang in there, buddy. There's a lot of people that's messed up. But God didn't quit loving you. God didn't quit loving you. I'm reminded of the story in the Word of God of the prodigal son. Now, what a wonderful illustration I believe that is of the love of God. Because that prodigal son, he was a son. Don't forget that, all right?
Amen.
He was a son. And he demanded what was coming to him, so the father gave him what was coming to him. And we know, according to the scripture, he went out and he wasted, the Bible said, his substance with riotous living. Just blew it out there, all right? Just blew it. Came to himself in a hog pen. Not just feeding them, but eating with them. And he said, I'm going back to my father's. And I say it again, and you said, preacher, I've heard this. Yeah, because I like to say it. I really like this part because when he was yet a great way off, glory to God, the father saw him because he had been looking for him. He had been looking for him. Why? Because he never quit loving the son. He never quit loving his son. Look, you may have messed up a lot in this old world, but I'm going to tell you something. When God's for you, nothing can separate you from the love of God. Nothing can separate you. The greatest truth that I find in the Bible is that Jesus loves me.
Amen.
Greatest truth I find. One of the greatest songs ever written said, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. You said, oh, it's a kid song. Put me in the kid category, would you? I'm glad he loves me. I'm glad he loves me. You may not love me. The world doesn't love me. Satan surely doesn't, but God does. And that's better than all the rest put together, to know that God loves me. Oh, what a blessing. What a joy. Why? Because if God's for us, the world won't be, but it's okay because God's going to love you. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Nothing can separate you. But I want you to see this. It gets even better. Gets even better. Would you drop down to verse 30? Well, I've lost my place. Hang in there. We'll find it, all right? Look, if you will, in verse... It's not here anymore. No, I was kidding. It is here. The Bible says we're more than conquerors. Down in verse 37. I'm looking everywhere but in the right place, you know. I didn't write it down here, but I knew it's there. What a blessing, all right? Just look at verse 37. The Bible says we're more than conquerors. But that question remains there in verse 31. If God be for us, who can be against us?
Amen.
Now, if you're honest, you say, preacher, I can tick off a bunch of people that are.
Amen.
I mean, hey, first of all, Satan's against us, and all the hounds of hell, they're against you, without a doubt. The communist crowd has absolutely no use for a child of God.
Amen.
None whatsoever. By the way, be careful of these groups that are communist in our country today, fighting to take over. Don't you believe for a moment they're any friend of anybody that loves the Lord. Not on your life. I don't believe the evolutionist crowd is. They're not a friend of the child of God. Hey, we believe the Bible.
Amen.
They believe everything except the Bible, almost, all right? Hey, the secular crowd, they'll be against us. Now, but just because they can oppose, I like what verse 37 says. We're more than conquerors. We're more than conquerors. There, that verse 31, if God be for us, who can be against us? Really, we look at it and who can stand and be against us? Because we are more than conquerors. But notice the Bible says, through him that loved us. Can Can I remind you that as a child of God, we're in Christ? 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. When you got saved, you got in Christ. You got in the Lord Jesus Christ, all right? Being in Christ means that we're in the one who's never been defeated. Never been defeated. By the way, he never will be defeated. Now, the old devil, when they crucified him on the cross, said, we got him. But he was only excited for 3 days. Because after that 3 days, he came out of that grave. He said he got away. He got away. The Pharisees said, man, we've caught him. We've caught him. When we got him, we brought him before Pilate. He got the death sentence, and they clapped, I guess, and rejoiced in glee as the Lord was abused. He was beaten, and then he was crucified. But they didn't win. They didn't win. You know, sometimes people get the idea, well, just because we won one round, we won the fight. No, you just won one round. Just one round. The fight is a whole different thing, all right? The Lord Jesus Christ never been conquered. We're in him. I just want to tell you, we're on the winning side. We're on the winning side. We're more, notice the Bible says, more than conquerors. You know, I've thought a lot about that. What is more than conquerors? Usually, I mean, you know, today everybody just thinks, well, if I can just win and conquer and put my foot on the chest of the foe that's defeated and stretched out at my feet and I can raise my hands in victory, man, it don't get no better than that. But I'll tell you, it gets better than that. It does get better than that. Hey, it's more than just overcoming a foe, all right? For the child of God, it's more than just whipping something or someone, all right? It involves building, not just destroying. Our Lord conquered death. He conquered hell. He conquered the grave. But the good thing about it is when he did, he stepped up to eradicate your fear of death, hell, and the grave, all right? He didn't just conquer it, but he took away any fear that it ought to have for you and I, the child of God. Hey, we've got nothing to fear from hell. We're not going. We're not going. We've got nothing to fear from death. Death is just the moving from this life to another life. It's a whole lot better. The grave, hey, the grave won't even be able to hold your body. Grave won't even be able to hold your body. It's going to come forth one of these days. So what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying to you, when God's for you, we're more than conquerors. We're more than conquerors. We look here, when God is for you, you look at those things, we can conquer tribulation. We can conquer distress. We can conquer persecution. We can conquer famine. We can conquer nakedness, peril, and sword. And then we can turn around and replace those foes with something infinitely better. We don't just defeat the foe, but we lift them up and point them to Christ. Amen. Lift them up and point them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, the idea when you get into a conversation with a lost person is not to triumph in a debate. No, sir. No, amen. The idea is to get them to realize, you know what? I'm lost and I need a Savior. And I cannot save myself. That's the idea. Hey, more than conquerors, to defeat the foe, but yet then win the foe over to your side. That's so much better than just saying, we whooped you, and to make an enemy for life, you know. It's so much better to make friends. I remember when I was coaching volleyball and basketball with kids at school. Well, the girls, I usually got the privilege of coaching the girls' teams, and we'd play, and I can remember telling them, I said, y'all need to go. I don't remember now. I think it was a basketball game. I said, y'all need to go out there and warm up just a little bit. So they left, man, and immediately here they come back. They said, this other team's out there. I said, well, go meet them, pat them on the back, shake their hand, and warm up. I said, we're not out to make enemies. We're not out to make enemies. We're out to win the game. Amen. We want to defeat the foe, but I don't want to make enemies. Hey, listen, I'd like to get everybody with this loss, the realization they're lost. I'd like to impress upon them, you know what? You've got an eternal destiny in a place called hell. But you don't have to go there. You don't have to go there. Hey, listen, if God be for us, we're more than conquerors. You can count on it. My friend, isn't it a blessing to know God is for you? Isn't it a blessing to just to think, hey, he's for me? The world's never going to be our friend until the Lord Jesus Christ returns and straightens out all this mess. But until he does, the world's not going to be our friend. We're not going to do it. There's a petition in Haltom City to make Haltom City wetter. I thought it already was wet. I thought it was as wet as you could get when it comes to booze. But I find out now there's a petition circling to make it wetter. We want to bring breweries in here. Boy, that'll help our city, won't it? And what a blessing that'll be. No, that won't do. That'll bring the curse of God.
Amen.
We're not in favor of that, all right? We don't want that to come in. Hey, the world doesn't understand us. Why would you be opposed to progress? It's not progress. It's not a better thing. It's a worse thing. All we need is another chance to get more people drunk, all right? Hey, the world's not going to be our friend until the Lord comes back. But as we face the wrath of the world, we get to enjoy the love of God. That's a pretty good trade-off. It's a pretty good trade-off. You know, when you were a little kid, did you ever flee to your mama or to your daddy because you needed somebody to let you know they loved you? Did you ever have that experience? You know, after you got to be a teenager, you're too big for that kind of stuff, I know. But I mean when you was a little kid. You're a little kid and everybody's after you. And you're running, you know. You're running from me, think, fine, just get home. It'll be safe. You know, and that was the time when you was a little kid, you said, Daddy can whoop anybody. Daddy can whoop them all, you know. If I can just get there, I can just get there. Hey, listen, we have that safety. Well, I'll tell you, we face the wrath of the world, but we enjoy the love of God. While we're here, we're to be more than conquerors. We're to be more than conquerors. We're to take a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't let up. Don't give in. Don't let down. Don't let out. Give out, all right? Stay with it. Stay with it. Why? Because when God's for you, it makes a difference, all right? When he's for you, it makes a difference. You know, we've challenged people in times past to go out and knock on doors. You say, man, I'm a little bit leery of that. I understand. I know the fear. You think, oh, preacher, you don't. Oh, yeah, I do. I've had my knees knocking when I was knocking on the door, you know. If I'd have put a piece of wood inside each one of my knees, I wouldn't have had to knock on the door. I could have just stood there, bop, 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 and they'd have heard it inside, all right? Because I was scared to death. But you know what? God's always taking care. God's always taking care. I've had people tell me to get off their porch. I've had people tell me, you know, I'm not interested. But you know what I found out? Didn't hurt me at all. Didn't hurt me at all. There's been a time I wanted to say, wait a minute! Wait a minute! I want you to remember this date, because one day you're going to stand before God and he's going to tell you, you remember when that fellow showed up on your doorstep? He was trying to keep you out of hell. You might think about that. Well, if we could just get people to listen. If God's for us, the world's not going to be, but it's all right. It's all right. Because nothing can separate us from the love of God. And if he's for us, man, we're more than conquerors. We're on the winning side, but we're even more than a conqueror. Never be defeated. You click them off in history. You name all the great military leaders. Napoleon was a brilliant military leader. Brilliant. Brilliant. Won many, many victories. But there came the day when he was at Waterloo and he lost. Alexander the Great, by the time he was 30, had pretty much conquered the world. But you know what beat Alexander the Great? Alexander the Great. He couldn't beat himself, all right? Boy, we just go on and on. Every leader, all right, they've been defeated, but we're part of one that's never lost. And he never will. Never will. Man, what kind of relationship do you have with that Lord? What kind of relationship do you have with? Are you interested in it being better? Or you just want to be out there on the edge somewhere? Man, I want to get in close. I don't fit in the world, but I sure want to fit in among God's people. Serving the Lord. How about your relationship with that God? He's for you. He's for you. You been listening to the devil? He's leaning on you, telling you, no, he don't care about you. He doesn't love you. Hey, he's telling you now, don't listen to that preacher. But you mark her down, if God be for us, man, everything be all right, okay? Everything be all right. Is your relationship with him what it ought to be? Why don't you decide to do something about it tonight? Would you stand, please, with every head bowed and every eye closed? Every head bowed and every eye closed this evening. Hey, listen, what a wonderful God we serve. He loves us and he loves you with all that's within him. He gave his son. He didn't spare his son. He'll freely give us all things. Boy, it's up to us to get in on that, to serve him, to claim the promise of God, have the relationship with him we ought to have. Our Heavenly Father, I pray now you'd deal with us tonight. Lord, would you just help us to be honest with ourselves? You're such a great God. But Lord, sometimes we fall a little bit short in our service for you. We don't serve you the way we should. We don't love you the way we ought to love you. And Lord, I pray you'd just show us that tonight. All that you've done, Lord, help us see our part. First, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We sing the invitation tonight. God speaks to you. Would you come? If you need to come for whatever reason, hey, maybe just have a lost loved one that you need to pray for. Maybe there's sin in your life, needs to be dealt with, needs to be confessed. A good time to take care of that. Whatever the need is, would you come while we sing? Come on.